Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought too many.
Thank you.
show number 1560. Welcome. Welcome as the chefs get ready to get together with another version of Soul Tree Radio on the Raw. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Ingram, DJ Honeycomb. And as always, it's good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins, the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.bsnnewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brotherman Network, wherever they may be, Radio Reggie in Richmond, Virginia, Professor Fred, North Kakalaki, Pat Freeman, the mighty Obot, which whom we've been relating to the last couple of weeks out in Western New York, Buffalo specifically, where we will lead off. The Orlando Ledbetter out of Philadelphia, and the rest of the brethren when they chime in. Now, we'll go around the world in any second real quick because there's one footnote from Buffalo that needs to be understood. That goes back to the 911 caller and the 911 operator. Now, this is documented, so it's not speculation. Caller was afraid, obviously, because of what was going on in the supermarket and was whispering. The 911 operator essentially fucked the whole thing up and said, "Why are you whispering?" and left the person high and dry. Now, I know friends who work for 911 call centers. Actually, one's in Canada, one's in the States. And the whole point behind them, obviously, is to gather information. But assholery is assholery, whether it's here or north of the border. And this silly-ass person put people's lives in jeopardy, and obviously someone's life might have been forfeit because of their reaction to it. Now, I've been union and I've been labor and I've been management. So my CWA membership tells me that unions are good things. But even unions have bad situations and bad people in them. The person who slacked up on this, they need to lose their damn job. They need to be fired because people died behind bullshit. But I digress. As of right now, apparently this person has been suspended and put on leave, whether it's paid leave, unpaid leave, I don't know. They need to just leave because what they did was disgustingly wrong. Somebody lost their life behind the fact that this silly person did not respond soon enough to the task at hand. And as we say this, apparently more madness has ensued as apparently five people are dead or injured in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at a hospital. Now, apparently the shooter was also among those injured, but it seems like every week it's another hot spot. And it's more chaos. You know, I could speculate on what could be happening, but I don't want to deal in anything but facts with something like this. I have sitting to me my main man, bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris-Gray. Big G, what do you say? Gary, are you there? Well, Gary is not there. All right. Come on back when you get a chance. I got D. Orlando Ledbetter in the house. D, can you hear me?
Hey, you're loud and clear, brother. Loud and clear.
How you feeling tonight?
Well, you know, I feel like a black man in a map. That's right.
I know that's right. Well, again, more madness has happened, D, in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Beverly tonight. That's how
five people are dead or injured. I'm still trying to get the straights on things. But this is like every week something's going on. What the hell's happening?
I lost you for a second there.
Mm-hmm. No, I said another incident happened in Tulsa, Oklahoma. A shooting incident. We got Rita, Reggie, and Gary back now. Apparently five people are down, including the shooter. So it seems like everything's happening every damn week. What the hell's going on?
It's part of the...
A couple of days ago in Canada, Mr. Trudeau has banned weapons in Canada. He has a new gun law in Canada.
Yeah.
The conservatives are losing their minds because what's happening is all across America, people are saying, why can't we do what Canada's doing? Canada is limiting the cartridge to no more than 5 bullets a cartridge.
You know,
in America, you have 38 bullets a cartridge. You can't keep doing this. You cannot keep doing this.
They're not going to be able to get away with this, first of all. And Canada is one thing. America's another. I want to concentrate on America right now. So let's go back to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and the fact that five people are down. I got Tony McClain with me. Reggie, come back in when you come back in. Dow, again, what's going on in Tulsa, Oklahoma?
Well,
are you
guy,
talking about
this?
Hold on, G. Hold on, G.
Medical center. 30 people up. In 1970, when the tobacco industry was playing around, and 1980 when the car companies moved around, why were they moving around? Because the car company refused to put a seatbelt in the car, right?
Okay.
The tobacco industry said, we're not going to change our ways. Well, guess what? People started suing the car companies. People started suing the tobacco companies. And guess what? It changed the rules, didn't it?
Yeah, I got all of that. But I'm trying to get to what's going on right now in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Please. What the hell is going on in Tulsa? Somebody. Tony is in the mix as well. What happened?
Apparently, in a, I guess it was a medical building. Guy just basically stop me if you've heard this before. Somebody just came in and just started shooting. Don't know the
jeez.
I actually heard about it not too long ago. But
mm-hmm.
when the story first moved, it was three people killed, and now I guess it's up to five now. But
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know. I don't know what more to add to this. I mean, you know,
I'm getting an update as you speak. Police received a call that there was a man walking around with a gun, and it was near a medical office shortly before 5 p.m. local time. When they responded, they said it turned into an active shooter situation. And that was according to Police Captain Richard Mullenberg. But
yeah,
Tulsa, Uvalde,
yeah.
Buffalo, you know, guys were in
Mike,
dire straits. Yes.
And Mike, I believe we're one day removed from the 100th anniversary of the original Tulsa riot.
Tulsa
back in the
yeah.
Tulsa,
yep.
Tulsa,
that's
yeah.
what I'm getting to. Please, yes.
And see again, Mike, you know, stuff is done. See, again, see, everybody, see,
mm-hmm.
get the whole they're crazy out of your head.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
These are done. to me, they're done strategic. They're done strategically.
Bingo.
Because they want it to be a constant reminder. They're trying to
right.
be a constant reminder. It's not mm-hmm. you know, these folks don't live in a vacuum. Only their victims and people who are buying into the same narrative here. We're at war. We're at war here.
I mean, would everybody on the panel agree to this premise that we are at war?
No doubt. We've been at war. We've been at war for this country, actually this world's been at war for a couple thousand years. All right.
Uh-huh.
And it will continue. See, just name it. You're a couple days away. You know, there is something seriously different and wrong with a group of people. So whether it's white folks or whatever, and, you know, this thing, it's a continual cycle. You know, I'll give you an example. Something happened with my daughter, a trip tomorrow.
Okay.
They canceled the trip.
Uh-huh.
Parents got all up at arms
mm-hmm.
and started. Educated parents got all in
yep.
arms. I said, was that democracy or was that responding to the mob?
Mm-hmm.
I said, so it's the same thing. I said, it doesn't change. Your school is an example. Perfectly educated people. You know, they don't get what they want. They turn into a mob. The mob
yeah.
gets the response. The mob
mm-hmm.
gets the response. These shootings, we're about to enter an electoral cycle, right? There's less countries to go to war with. You know, Top Gun
That's
propaganda
true.
Came out, which was actually good,
mm-hmm.
by the way, as far as movies. But the propaganda machine came out. When the propaganda machine came out in the 80s, what did it do? It spawned a series, the biggest recruitment video for the military.
It sure did. Hmm.
Right.
That's
there was nobody, black or white, that didn't like an airplane. Like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, and by default, we get a couple of those Negroes up there flying. We
mm-hmm.
we don't want them to fly, but we know that they're the most decorated squadron in the history of aviation.
Most deaf. Mm. This is scary
so
stuff.
It's a cycle.
It's a cycle. I got to update Dow. Apparently the shooter at the Tulsa hospital is dead. Now, having said that, and knowing the state of conflict and chaos that we are always in, Gary, I'm not dismissing what you're saying about seatbelts and the fact that adjustments were made, because before I left Canada, I found out that Blaine, Washington, which is the city right next door past the border, was on lockdown the day before I left because the schools were threatened. I don't know if that story leaked over to the other side of the map, but everything was tense at the border because of that. So
mm-hmm.
there's a lot of shit going on. But Gary, this comes back to your original statement about chaos. It's like before anyone can catch their breath collectively, something else is jumping off. Is that fair to say that that's the map and the formula that's been laid out thus far?
Well, it's every 2 years it happens. We have multiple events. Now, this year's got, I think, a little bit worse because more people are dying this year. I don't see. It's only May and June. And we had 395 incidents of gunfire already.
That's disgusting. You know, that's really messed up. I've got the professor with me as well, Fred Witte. And we already know what the significance of Tulsa means to black people. It seems like someone's deliberately ringing that bell instead of random. So we got asked the question, who the hell could this be? And we know it's not a random here and a random there. At least I surely don't feel it is. And good evening, everybody. Forgive my manners.
Good evening.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, it's again, I think we're you know, they keep trying to play these old narratives of, you know, the lone wolf, the crazy person, or whatever. No, these things, you know, if you're paying attention, you realize that these folks know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah.
And see, the media plays right into it because, you know, you see the way it's depicted. I mean, they almost, when you're dealing with the white victims, you're saying, you know, should they be, you know, what kind of punishment should they get? Meanwhile, when there's black victims, it's, you know, do you forgive them?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what was heard up in Buffalo. Daryl, that's what annoys me about this whole premise. In Buffalo, they still haven't come to a resolution regarding the 911 operator who hung up on the person who said that their lives were being threatened. And because it's a union job, and I have worked union jobs, the union is going to try to protect you. Even if you're wrong, you know, just how far can wrong go before somebody has to say, you know, you messed up, your ass has got to go.
Listen, brother, I'm just going to play this a little bit louder in the background. What's going on? You know, it happened to come on. It's Marvin. What's going on?
Nothing changed. We're still asking. We're still asking after all these years.
You know, the problem is it is a sad, continual game. There is a war going on against non-melanated people and melanated people.
True.
There is a war going on for control of resources, as it's been going on since the beginning of time. Right?
Mm-hmm.
We are a resource. Each person is black is a resource. We have things that we possess.
Well said.
You know, it's a war going on against poor whites and poor people of all different races and these so-called elite people. And the elite, listen, if someone threatens your family, you're going to do whatever you got to do to defend your folks, right?
They feel threatened.
So they're pulling out all stops. And you can't have a superhero if you don't have villains. So they're creating villains. There's a group of white folks that they call patriots that are sponsored by the NRA that are out here ready to defend. They need a villain to fight against, right? You need a villain for a war on drugs. How can you have a war on drugs if you don't have any drugs? No drugs that you can make in America, really, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we know where it comes from. So you got all this technology. How is it coming to the states? Opium, right? Opioid epidemic is going crazy. Well, last time we saw an opioid epidemic break bad in this country, we were fighting in Vietnam.
Access directly there, right?
Now we got an opioid epidemic, and we've been fighting a war over in the mountains of Afghanistan, right?
That's right.
So the bread is going up, right? They want to threaten Russia. Okay, that man's crazy. Okay, so everything you say, if he's crazy and he's everything that you said he is on TV, why are you fucking with him? To put it point blank, why are you fucking with the crazy man? Everybody grew up in the neighborhood with the one brother that came back from the war that was a little bit off.
That was a little bit off, right?
So, you know, some knucklehead in the group tried to pick with him, got his ass whipped. But you don't fuck with a crazy guy.
God, you're so right.
Everything is wrong, and we are supposed to idolize, as black people, we are supposed to idolize the Oprahs, the Denzels, and everyone else of the world. We're supposed to idolize them.
Yep. No,
we're supposed to be enamored with Will Smith smacking somebody on TV months ago.
I can remember Johnny Williams coming home from war, lived in our neighborhood. He lived literally on the roof of our apartment building. And everybody knew to leave him the hell alone because whatever happened over there, was highly personal, and we gave him enough space where we go back and forth and nod hello, and he knew he was in safe territory. But you're so right. This shit happens all the time, and that the opium epidemic really never went away. It was something pointed out by all people. Eddie Griffin was a very intelligent brother who talked about how this opium thing spread it through Afghanistan to now. But the fact that now we have pins on the map running from Buffalo to Uvalde to Tulsa, you know, Professor, I know you're an archivist. Someone's keeping score out here. So as Reggie would say, what in the ham sandwich do you think is going on?
What do you mean your mind's keeping score? Somebody's keeping score. You have money. Basically money being printed. Somebody's keeping score. You got a body count. They know. We're not just sort of just lumbering out here all willy nilly, and see. Part of the problem that you're dealing with now is back in the day, at least most of the people or some of the people would go so far as to say, hey, we are at war. Okay? Now, there are times when we weren't at war. You know, sometimes we dropped our barge, Pearl Harbor was probably one of the biggest fiascos ever because you got this admiral who I think he ended up committing suicide because he said, they said he did not properly protect and all this other kind of gang stuff, right? Yeah. But guess what? The United States had broken the code. You know, we're talking about December 7th, right? But the code was broken in August. So why did he end up being court-martialed and lambasted or whatever?
Yep.
Because nobody wants to face the truth. Because remember, at the time, the new United States was a isolationist country.
Yep.
Whatever that is.
They were minding their business, basically.
They were quote unquote less than willing to fight because of what had happened in World War I. Well,
right.
Remember in World War I, where black folks were quote unquote not at war, although they fought with the French, they suffered and died with the French, and were basically told when they returned, hey, you weren't part of our army. You were part of their army.
That's right. Yeah.
So see them for your pensions and all that kind of nonsense. Well, until we get to the point where we're willing to call a spade and face up to what we're actually doing, you're going to continue to have these little fiascos.
Come on.
You know, remember January of last year, we had this quote unquote incident.
Yep.
It wasn't a riot. It was whatever. But it was not an official riot. It was an incident.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's an incident.
Hmm.
Here we are a year later and it's still being called incident. And the people on both, okay, you got the buttholes on one side who are calling it an incident, but then you got the other buttholes on the other side who are letting them do it.
That's right.
You know. As much as I like to joke with Reggie about certain things, but sometimes Reggie right. And when you take the time to look at the situation. It doesn't stop with the people attacking the cops,
people running through
yep.
halls of Congress. He doesn't stop with all that kind of stuff. But see,
right.
you know, it's little wonder that you got kids out here who think they can just go shoot up a place because they want to.
I agree.
Right? Because what do you end up with? Well, it was not really a shooting.
No.
Why? Because it's not, they said it wasn't. And there are people out there, Ted Cruz, I mean, you know, if you cannot honestly follow your leaders, then
yeah.
they're not saying
what you and Darryl are saying right now. But everybody in Australia, we are at war. That's no joke. I mean, think about the fact that we're sitting here talking about this and nobody's going out of their way to say, all right, apparently the one in Tulsa is down, the one in Uvalde is down. The one in Buffalo walked away. Kyle Rittenhouse walked away. Nobody said a shit about it after the fact. They just said, oh, the kid got away with it and whatnot. But we know what happened. This kid had a license to murder. He drove miles to commit his crime, committed it, and then put crocodile tears in front of everybody on the stand and got off. You know, don't think that he wouldn't be an archetype for other people to do the same damn thing. The guy in Buffalo drove miles coming up there. He did reconnaissance. He went inside the supermarket. He looked around in between the hot dogs and beans. He saw how many black people were there before he did what he did. You know, how many times is everybody going to fucking just admit what people on this thread have already admitted out loud? The mainstream media isn't saying a damn thing. Tony, as an editor, how would you handle this if we were putting out a section of a paper and this was your department?
Oh, look, you have, you know, this is beyond an epidemic. You cannot, you know, mm-hmm. you know, what's you have to go beyond the quote unquote Captain Obvious sort of thing.
Yeah.
And especially with us as black folks, because I think it, you know, all of the, you know, a lot of these, you know, shootings have happened on the heels of prominent black, well, celebrations maybe, but prominent days in black history, you know,
mm-hmm.
so the shooting in South Carolina, you know, comes on the heels of, oh God, what was it? John Baptiste's,
John, like that.
We talked about the thing today at Tulsa. There was a historical significance in regards to the Buffalo thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, here's the thing, and again, it needs to be emphasized. You cannot fall into the trap of thinking that, oh, they're just crazy folks, and you know, as long as we stay away from the crazy folks, we'll be fine.
Right.
They're not, you know, then one, they're not crazy because they know exactly what they're doing, but as we've seen in so many of these other instances where you hear the phrase, well, if you get a good, you know, the only thing that will stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun.
Oh, God. Yes.
Well, you know, we're still waiting to see if the collective police department of Uvalde has a spine, because apparently
mm-hmm.
they don't. You know, now again, if that has been a black person shooting all over around in there, you probably could have gotten the Texas fucking Rangers to come out of hiding to get Chuck Norris would have shown up. Oh
mm-hmm.
man!
Sure
I mean, you know, one way or another, they were gonna get. You know, they didn't have a problem getting Chris Dorner, did they?
No, they didn't. They went up. They hunted his ass. They went up the mountains and got Chris Dorner's ass. I believe that. And they didn't just bring him in handcuffs. They incinerated his ass. They lit the place up where he was staying. SWAT made sure he was
they
not going to walk out that door alive.
Just like these, all of these shooters, they were making a statement.
Mm-hmm.
They were making a statement. By their inaction, they were making a statement.
Yep.
By their actions, they were making a statement. And that's the thing. Well, you know, I don't need any more statements. You know, we're at war. We
mm-hmm.
collectively as black people in this country are at war, and we need to think like that.
We have to. Gary, I say this because we know, my brother, that your situation is special. And everybody is walking around with this spirit on swivel because we know we got to be more alert than ever outside. What does it feel like for you, given everything that's happened over the last month or so? How does this directly affect you?
When I go out the door, I got to look at it. I don't know if I'm going to come back over that.
Mm-hmm.
And that did not be happening.
Yep. That's the premise.
The thing that bothers me the most, Mike, and I mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a hard time with them saying, "Oh, they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time." When is
no
going
shit.
To church? When is going to school? When is going to shop? The wrong place at the wrong. I mean, is it? I mean. Do we have to normalize? You know, the fact that they're forcing people to try to normalize this bothers
mm-hmm.
that bothers me more than the shooters.
Yes.
Because they're going to try to normalize this. They're going to be, you know,
yep.
look, they're playing off of our paranoia as it is.
Yep. Normalizing.
And you have educated people who know better and still deny it. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He said, "Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong." I said, "No. Think about what you're saying." And they don't want to come to a Jesus moment. That is wrong with them. They don't want to come to a Jesus moment.
Well,
America is at a Jesus moment right now.
Well, the chaos
yeah.
is teetering on two things. The chaos is teetering on normalization and demonization. Now, as Daryl pointed out, the villain not only must be made and created, but he must be demonized. White folks even demonize white folks. Remember, Germans were krauts during the war. You know, Vietnamese guys were slants or gooks or whatever. We already know what they thought about black people before there was even any war. But the bottom line was, you know, if you create the bad guy, then the good guy, i.e. the white guy, will come along and supposedly solve the problem. And sadly enough, as this incident happened in Tulsa, it's going to kick off one of our topics for discussion tonight. Now, we already know Roe v. Wade may be in its final throes, and that the law may be upheaved, and there may be an upheaval of the law in the next few months. So abortion, you can forget. But what I can't forget is the fact that Langston College is in Oklahoma, Prairie View, Texas Southern, you know, schools in Florida, all the HBCUs and other schools in Texas and Oklahoma and Florida specifically are going to be on high alert because He Got Game is taken to a whole nother level. Y'all know about the movie He Got Game. Y'all know about the scene where Jesus Shuttlesworth goes down to school and he's met by a hostess who shows him around the campus, gives him some ass as a little souvenir before he makes his mind up to do whatever elsewhere. Now, with Roe v. Wade in effect, the laws of having babies, of having sex, will change drastically. And I would be remiss if I would be remiss, excuse me, if I did not mention the name Jenarlo Wilson. Now, if you don't remember the name Jenarlo Wilson, this is a kid who was a teenager. He had a scholarship. His future looked bright. He's going to play football down in Georgia, all that shit. And then at a New Year's party, he gets a blowjob, a consensual blowjob from a 15-year-old girl. We can question the ethics or whatever, but the parents of the 15-year-old girl agreed. It was consensual. However, the prosecutor, a black bastard, had the nerve to say, well, this was non-procreative sex. So if Wilson knocks the girl up by screwing her and she's pregnant, no harm, no foul. He goes to school, he plays football, whatever goes on with his parents, they deal with it. But because the sex was non-procreative, their words, he did time in jail. Think about that. He did time in jail. He never got to play football. His life and career went in a totally different direction. Now, if we had to sit down and talk about getting arrested for eating pussy, I know a few brothers who might be doing a hard time in the joint, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Having said that, the premise of any kind of sex leading to any kind of dire straits legally is very, very real. Professor, what say you on this?
Well, first and foremost, one of the things that we have to acknowledge in these kinds of situations is that if you drive down from here, you'd say I-95. Okay, I-295 goes past my house by less than roughly a mile.
Okay.
In between helicopters, I can hear them right now. Going 295, mm-hmm. And as you move up and down 95, you go to various state laws. And one thing that we got to be mindful of is when you go to the border, when you cross the border, the laws are very likely to change.
Okay.
Because of that, as one young lady, this young lady from the WNBA is finding out about Russian law versus other countries' laws.
No shit.
You're subject to the laws of that of where you are. And with that in mind, sometimes you got to hold your water, so to speak. And when you look at it, in my humble opinion, ain't nothing I can look that good or gonna feel that good that I can't wait. Because, see, something that a couple of my friends and I have been talking about lately, and that is, it's not that you need to be a lawyer or whatever, but people just don't read, okay? We mentioned earlier, you know, we were mentioning earlier that, you know, about the Constitution, okay?
Yep.
You hear people say, well, I'm going to plead the Fifth, but you keep talking. No, plead the Fifth, shut the hell up.
yep.
You know, this whole thing about rights to bear arms. Okay, so you're telling me that 400 years ago, Ben and the boys are hashing out the Constitution, and they're telling you, okay, you have a right to carry a Glock or a 14 or 15 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
No. Ben would literally wet his pants for real if he saw a gun back then, from back then, that you could shoot, what, 15 times?
Right about that.
Hey, forget about reloading with a clip. He couldn't, you know, they had no idea that one day there would be a gun, because back then what did you have? You had a musket pistol, a musket rifle, and you had cannons.
Mm-hmm.
On different boards. But see, what we're running into now, Mike, is this. You have people out here who are trying to turn various things about the Constitution around. Among them, you know, we don't know where they're going with this, because
mm-hmm.
if they go in a certain direction, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you northern boys might think y'all gonna get away with this, but I doubt it, because you know, because if you take the Constitution back beyond a certain point, what you got? You have a situation where slavery is permitted in the law of the land. You have all kinds of stuff out there. And see, slowly but surely, they're trying to roll back certain aspects of the Constitution. You know, at some point, they're going to attack the 13th Amendment, 14th, 15th, right on up the line.
They already did the Voting Rights Act. Yeah.
Duh. And see, you as John Q. Public, based on, and see, you somebody mentioned a little earlier, they said, we don't know what they're trying to do. Yes, you do. How many times do you supposedly smart people who can't answer a straight question? I ain't talking about your presidential.
True.
I'm talking about people like Ted Cruz and that bunch.
Mm-hmm.
They're blatantly giving out these vague answers to questions, and no matter what you say, they bounce back and answer everything with a question. And at the end of the day, what you have? More questions. No, there's never an answer to what they throw out there. So, quiet as it was kept, this can be traced back to when people like Ted Cruz was calling Ronald Reagan a jerk. But guess what? He used the same tactic that Ronald Reagan used 30 plus years ago.
There you go again.
At the end of the day,
that's exactly right.
You at the end of the day, you could have had a 2-hour conversation, and you won't even know what you talked about.
That's right, Daryl. You went to a HBCU. Tony, you worked in a HBCU. How do you think the atmosphere will change with Roe v. Wade putting a lockdown on attitudes and how people go about their business at an HBCU?
It'll have some impact, but understand Roe versus Wade is not necessarily a black person's issue.
Right.
This is an issue that is primarily for white folks, because their ability to reproduce and reproduce at a rate that they need is genetically, it's not possible. It'll catch some ears, because you'll have some good professors in it. You'll have the feminist movement about that. Kind of all goes back to what George Collins says. You know, they care about you until you're born. So, I'm born.
That's right. Yeah. Yep.
You know what I can't be about the fact that
when you're born, you come out and you fuck for life. So
that's right.
That's what gets me about the right to life people. Right to life people will say, you're gonna have this kid born, right?
Mm-hmm.
And once that kid is alive, they don't care about you. And like, what are you talking about? What are you doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Mission accomplished. You know, the issue is made of melanated and non-melanated people before. I don't know about black men raping black women to get them pregnant and then have issues with custody over the kid once the kid is born, once it's in the fetus or whatever. Can somebody help me out with this? Is this all fight?
Well, you know, just me speaking personally for myself.
Uh-huh.
As a male, I try my best not, you know, to talk about something I know nothing about in regards to
I can't have
an abortion, so I can.
Mm-hmm.
But with that being said, I think, let's put it this way. It's sort of, I think within the black community, they try to sort of use it against us as a diversionary tactic for
yes.
other things.
Mm-hmm.
More than anything else. It's important, yes, but again, I piggyback on what Orlando said. I think it's more, there's no other way to say it. This is the whitest white woman issue of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
come on.
I mean, because yes, sisters have abortions and all the other stuff. But see, this is something that is just it's one of those hidden things that you know back in the day you weren't supposed to talk about in public. It's interesting. I don't know if you guys have been following this Showtime docuseries, The First Ladies,
yes.
where it
mm-hmm.
chronicles Michelle Obama,
mm-hmm.
Eleanor Franklin, and Betty Ford.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because I never realized how much they tried to muzzle Betty Ford during President Ford's short tenure, and one of the things they tried to muzzle her about was abortion and women's rights
yep.
and all the other stuff. Now,
mm-hmm.
now you had those same issues as well with Ms. Roosevelt and definitely with Ms. Obama
with Michelle.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but see, it's always so funny to me that to this day, you still have white men trying to dictate what women, all women, can do with their. I mean, it's the epitome of hypocrisy, and then some. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's again. I say all that to basically say it's a factor in the black community, but it's not the main thing. But see, that's the thing, because so many of these quote unquote issues, they try to make it that like it's all, you know, that it's all about, you know, it's something that we need to worry about. But see, that's the problem. We get so caught up in our, for lack of a better word, we get so caught up in our enemies' things that we forget to take care of ourselves.
True. That's the whole premise that comes with being under siege. You don't think, and you don't have the atmosphere to clear your head long enough to think. So, you know, let's not even have to consider the HBCUs in Florida, Texas, and Oklahoma, and other places. Just think about Tony McClain being a high-profile recruit that Texas and Texas A&M is fighting over. And they figure they can subscribe to the red meat and white women routine to get your ass in there. Now, Oklahoma State wants a PCU too, but you also know that Texas and Oklahoma are at the top of the list of states that adopt the states' rights approach, which led to the Civil War, that whatever they do in their states, they think is above everything else, and damn what the feds have to say. So the Texas coach, the Oklahoma State coach, the Texas A&M coach, they all want you, and they're willing to do whatever they can to get you because you're a high-profile recruit. You're going to bring lots of ass in the stands and make the schools lots of money.
Oh, yeah.
We already know about the Jesus. We already know about the Jesus Shuttlesworth gambit. Do you think that gambits like this will increase or decrease with the advent of this law changing?
Well, I think one of the things that we need to consider here is that they've already shown their colors when it comes to their real colors, when it comes to almost everything related to all of this. Everybody's favorite best coach of the year. You know, he stuck his foot down his throat, and then you have other ones along the way have shown their true colors. And then at the end of the day, what do you end up with? A media is going to say, "Well, but that's really not what he said, and that's really not what he meant." Okay, having thrown that out there, what you got? Okay, so let's go. Okay, let's melt this down to the truth. As close to a rap song as I can come in, wasn't me. The kind of society. That's how far we've fallen as a society, and because that's how far we've fallen, it doesn't take very long for us to get around to saying, "Hearken forsooth." So what is reality? It is what they say it is. Whoever got the mic, that's who's in charge. Whoever got the mic, you can say the most stupid stuff the fastest. We just witnessed this a week ago yesterday with the primary. Now, not to pass aspersion on nobody from Georgia, wink, wink. Who would have thought that you could find enough people in the state of Georgia to say that Herschel Walker, who cannot carry out a complete
center,
you know. It's sad to say, the only way he can complete a sentence is if he got convicted of something, because he can't talk. But then he done got caught. He done got caught in several lies, and guess what? What is he doing now? He's saying the person who is quote unquote his staunchest supporter is a liar.
Duh. That's right.
We already knew that.
We forget, Fred, Herschel Walker left school when he was 20 to go play professional football. And as far as fully forming thoughts into sentence and subject and predicate in a sentence, he has never proven to be a Rhodes Scholar or even anybody who had a calm head. So when we hear Herschel say what he said, we're not surprised.
Right. Mike Rhodes, yes. Scholar, oh no. No.
Unfortunately, but that is so true. And the fact that he's been given this forum in which to try to slide in adds to the chaos. You know, he figures by name recognition alone. I have to bring this story up because this is one of the last things I did with the Philadelphia Tribune. Lynn Swann was running for office in Pennsylvania. Now, Y'all may know as the Steelers, Dwayne Woodruff won a spot as a local council person, whatever, and apparently he did a damn good job. Swan came in or tried to come in and run on the fact that he was sucking the teat of George Bush. I literally interviewed him for 20 minutes, and he could not get around the fact that everything he believed in terms of policy, I was totally disappointed because he was singing George Bush's name like a parrot, as if nothing else mattered. He had no thought process of his own regarding what I was going to do, what can I do, how can I improve this. Everything was off of a George Bush playbook. And fortunately, he did not win. So after hearing this, after seeing this, I was even more disappointed that this brother had not just drank the Kool-Aid, he was buying six packs of it. I got Radio Reggie in the mix. Reggie, can you hear me?
Yeah, can y'all hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Hey, I got one quick question. How in the ham sandwich does the coach from Tuskegee just make a simple comment, voice his First Amendment right, that said Nick Saban should play more HBCUs, and he gets death threat? I just don't understand these people
a
from
death
Bama.
Death threat? When was this, Reggie?
Reggie? You don't
tell
mess
me
with you don't mess with crazy crackers, first of all. Secondly, remember he's just at Tuskegee.
Mm-hmm.
Never mind the history that's involved with Tuskegee. Never mind that before Bear Bryant became Bear Bryant as we now know him, Tuskegee would have roasted his nuts, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but see, you can't, it's easy for you to strike back at a coach at a quote unquote lowly school like Tuskegee, then to come out and tell the true history of, you know, going back to Ben Stevenson and others along the way that have done great things in the world of football, track and field, basketball. Remember, it was schools like Tuskegee that made it so that black folks even wanted to watch basketball because early on, the game sucked.
Come on.
And black folks didn't go along with that. But see, again, you still have that situation where you got these people who think that this is one of the Negroes who don't know his place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they don't have second thoughts about threatening him. Why? What are they going to do?
Good point. Now, guys, we would think collectively that with this whole setup, a HBCU would be a safe haven for student-athletes, and it would encourage more young black men and women. And remember, the women are probably affected by this more than the men with the laws in certain states and Roe v. Wade's rearing its ugly head up. Do you think that the collective conscience would roll with this and bring more or include or add to the roles at HBCUs? Will this increase recruitment? Will this increase people
going
there?
Hold on, Mike. I'll throw this in real quick. When you have the former coach, track coach at A&T, takes a job in Tennessee, that tells you right there that HBCUs are once again the training grounds for big and better things. Now, I don't know about basketball and football, but in golf, tennis, swimming, or whatever else you got,
those sports right there, if an HBU is doing strong, I guarantee you, like an SEC or even Ivy school is going to scoop them up.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, something you need to consider here, and we've mentioned this before. One, we got to tell our own story, but then we got to back our own story up, too. Because the size of the schools is irrelevant beyond a certain point. What you have to understand is if you're D1, D2, D3, D-whatever, it's about how much money can you raise, how much money will you raise, and how much of that money will you spend on athletics. Again, take away the graduate schools at Duke and Wake Forest, and right here, just those two schools in North Carolina. Each of which has played for, if not one or more national NCAA championships. But what do they have? I mean, they did a special on those broadcasts last night on PBS. The place that, you know, as they say, Mike's house, you know, Cameron Indoor Arena.
Yep.
It's a dome. It only has about 5,000 or so seats. Okay. The court is the same size anywhere, but the money, you know, when you've been producing doctors for 100 years, you've been producing attorneys and all these kind of stuff for 100 years, and just flat out old rich white folks for 100 years.
Yeah.
You have a built-in advantage that some people say, well, there's no systemic racism. Okay, right. Anyway, what you end up with is a situation where HBCUs got to start raising more money. They got to start putting more money into athletics. And one of the things that Kisetsky said during his interview, hey, we raise a lot of money, and athletics is at the point of a lot of what we do here as far as funding and all those types of things. But with that in mind, part of what they were talking about was, I think one of his last 4 years he made $15 million.
Yes.
As head coach at Duke, his gross salary was somewhere in the range of $15 million for year before last year. Well,
guys,
that's the TV and what goes to the school.
Let me ask everybody, all the HBCU affiliates, Fred, Reggie, Tony, Patrick. If enrolling more students is the mission and raising more money is the mission jointly, have you ever been around a school / schools that you know have failed in their mission and have not been able to garner the funds needed to follow through on what their business plan was?
Howard University. Howard has deplorable conditions where they live in. They almost lost accreditation for the dental, almost lost accreditation for nursing, and a plethora of other things. They got people leaving Howard going to the University of Maryland just so they could finish their degree.
I know that, Reggie.
Including pharmacy schools, too.
And Mike, we all remember the deplorable conditions at Grambling's athletic department. No less than what, 7-8 years ago, with the travel conditions and everything else. You know, and Reggie, I'm sure you remember how bad it got for St. Paul before they had to finally shut it down too.
Well, it never got good.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was a thing that just progressively, what have you. It's a shame because that's a legacy. You know, when advocacy, you know, Fred talks about, we have to write our own stories. When a Morris Brown, when a St. Paul's, when all these other schools have to close or what have you, it's a legacy. It's like there's an old African saying, when an old man dies, a library shuts down. It's the same premise when we lose one of our HBCUs.
Gentlemen, something to consider with all of this, and we're just continue focus on HBCUs. You know, we just got to change how we look at certain things, and our perspective is much too small. Our perspective is much too narrow. We look at how we talk about that money as if it's some foreign entity. Well,
yep.
Again, we mentioned Duke and Wake Forest, right? Let's look at the fact that each of those two schools have people who can write a single check that equal or surpasses the budget of a lot of HBCUs. You see, I won't call any Reggie's friends out, but he knows some who, if they write a $1,000 check, they think they have done something great, which for is their money. So yeah, it is something great, but the reality is you need a bunch of those $1,000 checks. You need a bunch of those $10,000 checks.
Yeah. And after they write the check, then they tell the coach how to coach.
And see, when you look, right now, one of the things that is going on at Winston-Salem State is they're putting up a statue in the stadium for Bill Hayes. Okay, cool. And don't get me wrong, I can appreciate that. I love Bill too. I've known Bill since before he got to when he was in Lake Forest, including my neighbor. But at the same time, though, the same effort that they put into raising money for Bill's statue, you got to put up money to raise. You got to put up same kind of effort raising money for the women's track team, the men's tennis team. I think we have now, not to mention football. So that we finally have a full staff and not a bunch,
See, Fred, that's the other page that has yet to be turned. We got Patrick Ferrer in the mix. Patrick, can you hear us?
Live and living color, folks. How's everybody doing?
Gentlemen, as we were saying before, we were talking about how Roe v. Wade may affect college athletics. Now, the men's one thing. We haven't had a chance to talk about women's athletes yet in earnest because now they're paying attention to the fact that women are making money for schools. There are female athletes now that under NIL might end up getting a couple bucks. But NIL is not even an issue. If in just the order of what's going on socially, they get caught up, this will be worse than any episode of Paternity Court. And everything from a kiss to a hug, putting your arm around somebody, will light a fire for legal dynamite as this nonsense continues. And if you're the father of a female athlete, how are you looking at this now, knowing what could potentially come down the pike? Anybody?
If we look at the women's soccer team,
yep.
I'm many years did it take to get them to get what they wanted to get, right?
That's right, but they
haven't
been paying that.
No, it's not right. See, they should be getting more money. They won't do that. They compromise. Why are you compromising? You should get all the money you deserve.
But Gary, we're not talking about equity per se here. We're just talking about if Missy was somebody going to A&T and she met a guy, you know, she met a guy and they went on a couple of dates and it was just casual, nothing special, but a situation comes up. And Missy ended up pregnant. Under the North Carolina laws, certain things may be in effect. But if she was in Prairie View or, say, Langston College, the same thing happens to her, other laws would be in effect. She may have to bring the child to term. If she even thought about an abortion, they would say, hell no. You know,
she's in Texas. She knows they're gonna make her bring the turn in Texas.
Exactly. There you go. Now y'all know where I'm headed with this.
Yes.
Are these scenarios potentially real?
Yeah.
In certain parts of the country, absolutely. And the floodgates will just get crazier. You know, if and or when. They basically try to get rid of Roe versus Wade, but the thing is, it's gonna come. I mean, I saw, you know, and maybe this is a terrible analogy, but this is sort of this is akin to prohibition. It got during prohibition than it did before, and now it's, you know. Now all this is going to bring back the whole coat hanger folks, as far as I'm concerned, and no one should have to go through that, whether they're an athlete, a CEO, or anything. That's the problem. And see, we as black women are going to catch hell, especially poorer black women.
Yes, you always do. Hey, but Patrick, I got a quick question for you. I know we're on this subject, but a lot of people right now are looking at the NBA finals with the money rolling and hockey. Now, you tell me how they're going to try to spend this. We know the brothers, we want to see basketball, but we got some brothers playing hockey, especially with the two-time champs on Tampa Bay. So how are the networks doing hockey and basketball, Patrick?
Tampa Bay,
Tampa Bay. The NBA is just pulling the truck to make money, that they're gonna make on money. It doesn't really compare.
Come on.
There's an uplift here in this area in Jersey, in New York, because the Rangers are I think they won tonight. That'll do well.
And if
the Rangers are in the NHL finals, it's going to raise some numbers in terms of eyeballs and screen. But let me give you the reality, guys. It ain't going to touch the NBA by no means, because NBA has a global presence that really you have no concept of.
And
it's a perfect and it's a perfect storm for the NBA, because you have, dare I say it, one of the most storied franchises.
Yes, you do.
And you have the Boston Celtics.
Why did I not know he was going to do that? Why did I not know he was going to do that?
And
you got Magic Johnson doing the play-by-play.
Let me tell you this. This is how the NBA is, you know, in another stratosphere. They have a kid in France –
that 7'3" that plays like he's 6'4". I got some information today.
That's right.
I saw the video. He's 19 years old. I can't pronounce his African name, and you know, but what I'm saying, there's talent coming through the woodworks to globalize this game in ways that, you know, marketing wise, a marketing person is just getting the harder every day because what they could do. So it's really no comparison.
Yep.
So Patrick, you telling me this year draft, if we're gonna see him get drafted?
You may. He's 19 years old.
What's
I mean, that's why I'm being around the league as long as I have been, and the workings of what's going on. A young kid said, "I'm going to go to the NBA." I just keep saying the same thing that the great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said: "You have a better chance of becoming a brain surgeon than an NBA player."
Yeah.
It's not to kill their dream. I'm not killing anybody's dream, but if you are depending everything that you got on making the league, whenever they might bring in 100 new players, but the global presence that they will skew in only and subconsciously because of the marketing of the game globally, you know, you're going to put out 10 guys in the United States that are good, but this guy may be just as good. They're going to pick the prime player. Now, don't knock. I'm not going crazy, you know. But the money that they're making globally is unprecedented.
That's true. And that's not,
hey, Patrick,
that's not a quick question.
Hold on, sorry, Mike, I apologize. But, Patrick, this golf situation, we're over in the great people overseas that want to try to steal the guys from the PGA. How long do you think this big crazy money is going to go? Because the Arabs might have money, but they get tired of this and pull the plug on in a minute.
The fact that the PGA told them that if you go there, don't come back, and they tell the PGA that you can kiss my entire ass, just let me know it's serious.
Where is Della Reese when I need her?
I just gave the Dolce Della Reese just let me know that I could say it. And when you got $253 million that can be split between about 10 or 12 guys, you can keep the PGA.
That's right.
And that's what it boils down to, you know. So
I do believe
Phil Mickelson is going that direction too. He's going to go with the Iron
Bowl. Of course he will.
This is my Sergio Garcia going too. Oh, Sergio.
There's a payroll that must be met, and to punctuate the point that you made about basketball.
I ain't heard that term in a long time. Payroll must be met.
The job pool for basketball is almost times 10 the pool that there is for football.
It's saturated.
And remember, we've got the CFL will be online June 9th. You got the NFL maybe in effect. You've got thousands of guys who strap on, who know they think they can play football because they've done it. But we know only a true handful, maybe a couple dozen, maybe more, get to play on the pro level. There are minor leagues around the world. There's semi-pro leagues around the world, but nothing comes close to the idea that the odds of making a professional basketball team are almost infinitesimal.
Mike,
excuse me.
Mike, let me flip something. This is what's happening, not going to happen. There are college football players, for instance, that ordinarily would leave the game to play pro, even though they might get drafted.
Right.
They're going to stay in school if they got the right NIL deal. They're going to stay in school. Now, if I can make $500,000 by staying here one more year, if I don't get drafted, at least I got some money in my pocket.
That's what bothers the Big Five, because they want to, you know, because they, you know, they again
they want to be
they, exactly, and see, it goes back to what Mike always talks about in regards to the 100-yard plantation, because what bothers them the most about even the hint
of some of these HBCUs getting 4 or 5-star guys is that, you know, any possibly semblance of even the slightest bit of equity, they've got a problem with. You know, Master Saban showed his temp card with that. And his followers and his followers did the same when the coach from Tuskegee dares to question Massa.
Mm-hmm. Reminds me of the line in Willie Dynamite where he says, "You got to collectivize or you run like a solitary rat. You got pimps arguing over hoes and the money flows. They don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of," to quote Reggie, "how dare these niggas try to think that they can make a couple of bucks without our say so. How dare they?"
I'm putting cases on all of y'all.
I'm going to give Deion Sanders a lot of credit because Deion Sanders came at him like he should have come at him. He wasn't trying to. He was not trying to, you know, play the I'm going to be gracious and fuck you.
No.
That's basically what he said to everybody. They can come here if they want to, you know. And the thing that he said about our people, that everybody looks over, and that I know cut the heart of some white folks. This nigga gonna miss to be seeing that? Hell yes.
Yes, right. That's exactly right. That's why this Roe v. Wade thing concerns me. And I'm not just talking about the young men. I'm talking about women. How many women will have their lives affected, or I should say malaffected, by X number of assholes who will try to come into the mix and upset their life? You know, yes, please.
Let me say, if I got a daughter, let's say I got a daughter that's a 3-star player, but has options to go to Texas, an option to go to University of Illinois.
To go to
Maryland. I'm gonna say, look here, sweetheart. That's why you go anywhere you want to. But I know you ain't. If something happens, which your ass understand shouldn't happen while you're in college. But would you rather be in Texas, Illinois, or Maryland? Which would you rather? And that's gonna affect the citizens of a lot of people more than we think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I would think so. Is it really, Patrick, you're feeling me on that. Is it really that pronounced? Will parents wince at the possibility of their young people going to a school in Texas or Florida or Oklahoma, especially
or
Oklahoma,
Georgia,
which is shown,
or Georgia.
They've shown their redneck.
Or Georgia, Lord have mercy.
Or Georgia,
my family home state.
Mm-hmm. No disrespect, but you know, didn't we just mention basically the SEC East or the SEC West stuff there?
Pretty much. Yeah.
And Patrick, don't forget about USC, Patrick. USC is starting knocking doors down.
Am I right? SEC was red conference. Right?
Yeah,
they still
want to let you coach. You got a white wife.
Wait, the SEC is having the meetings right now, and they said Saban and Jimbo didn't even speak, you know, because
they ain't gonna speak.
Said,
what they gonna say? What they gonna say? Don't nobody know nothing. They ain't gonna say nothing.
No, Jimbo's gonna say, "I like your hat. I like your hat."
Yeah,
you know,
no shit.
He'll tell God to shove it up his ass.
And you know who else is absent in all this? That prick Dabo Swinney. Ever since then, he shut the fuck up, and that's exactly what should happen.
Mike, must I ask again? Has Coach Swinney put in his resignation yet?
Exactly.
His
crack ass should have been gone by now. But I digress.
That's too much money to pay out by all of him.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a pay cut. Maybe a pay cut.
Here's what I'm afraid of. 100%
right.
Gentlemen, here's what I'm afraid of. We know about what happened at Penn State with the kids and Second Mile and Sandusky and all that shit. In the middle of all of that, Paterno got rid of a player. I believe the player's name was Cooper. John Cooper, I'm not sure the first name, but they let him go because he allegedly raped somebody.
Yep.
Now, when this chick recanted, Paterno did not bring him back. The mouse, the rat, the murine, every one of these motherfuckers did not bring the story back to life. No one said anything in this kid's defense. I don't know what happened to him since, but you can see that the young man was co-opted big time, and the pros didn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. So that actually doesn't have anything to do with whether or not he could or could not play. It could have been just a favor passed on, because we know in this world, even though there's no briefcases and whatever replacing it, that football 100-yard plantation is still corporate. You play because somebody says you can play. If they don't want you to play, you don't play.
Herschel walk on line two. It ain't a plantation.
Yeah, come on.
I'm about to turn. Just ask me.
Come on with that. Yes, sir.
Considering Herschel can't spell plantation, you know, take it for whatever it's worth.
For real. That's
equal because he can't say it either.
Yeah, that's true. But he's on top of his class, even though he didn't graduate.
Yeah, Herschel.
No, he graduated in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Football school.
Also, Mike, when you talk about rapes at Penn State, yes, that young man had a different situation. Also, what's the young man that made the movie about Nat Turner, who was a wrestler at Penn State?
Michael, this is terrible.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Exactly.
And somebody put that out like 2 weeks before the movie came out to try to ruin his career. And yet we're gonna talk about let the mother guy slide. Come on.
But look what they're doing to Daniel Snyder. How dare they do this to Daniel Snyder? You got sexual harassment charges. How dare you, Daniel? You're skimming money. How dare you, Daniel Snyder? And then you try to take the taxpayer for over $1 billion in the state of Virginia. Boy, pimping ain't easy.
Reggie, I have to make a correction on that. Hold on. Hold on. I got a foul on the play. I got a white hanky up and all that shit. You can't call it.
We got a flag on the play.
You cannot call it pimping. You cannot call it pimping if there's no hoes involved. In my mind, there's no hoes involved because
that's the problem. There was plenty of hoes involved in the beginning.
No.
This is Daniel Snyder White. Good day.
Maybe I can tell that this is a Bernie Madoff situation, where you can steal for anybody you want, but you can't steal from your own. That's what Snyder really is accused of. That's why his ass should be roasted for extreme assholery and scumbaggery in the first degree. He stole his own.
Is that a noun, verb, or adjective?
I don't know. But it's also... It's awful flowery language, though. You got to admit.
Oh, we might get credit for the flowery, but the bottom line, scumbaggery is still scumbaggery.
I'm so jealous of you guys. Y'all have too much fun. I'm so jealous.
And Mike, let's not forget, out hanging is our boy, John Gruden, when he gets his chance.
Tell him himself.
Tell them email.
Yeah,
the right emails, Lord have mercy.
You know,
that's
you're
taking
it.
Everybody down.
Now, guys, is it me or is John Gruden slowly becoming the Kareem Akbar of the NFL?
He is
he's starting to have a little swag to him. He's starting to walk like a brother. He's got a little swag to him, man.
And plus, he's only, you know, plus he's still got his whole right hand. So, you know, that's got to mean something.
But now, but that's because he's not a pretty motherfucker. That's right. Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the court, if it please the motherfucking court, I tried John Gruden with first-degree scumbaggery. First-degree
scumbaggery.
And felony dumb fuckery.
You didn't say holery, so you put a
scumbaggery. In the attempt to swallow the evidence. We find
I'm so jealous of you guys.
And let his cracker ass fry.
Well, you gotta put a commissioner in there too.
This case, the owners, I think the owners might get rid of this cat because of the evidence that they know about him. And what's going to be the repercussions of doing that?
See, Patrick, also, he broke the two biggest rules of the Million Dollar Boys Club. Number one, which said here, that one, they referred back to number one. But the biggest thing also is, you know, what's done here, what's said here, stays here. A certain female owner in Cincinnati found that out the hard way as well.
See, well, come on. She's 6 feet under now, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Over 12 feet under.
Well, it's probably 15 because remember she likes to smoke. So gotta put them butts
turned over on her stomach so everybody can kiss her ass.
Yeah. So that's something that definitely will. I'm keeping my eye on. It's gonna be drama worth staying up at night to hear.
That's true.
Yeah. Hey, but Patrick, I'll go back to what I asked you before, Patrick. What are you going to do with Baker Mayfield? I mean, now, my man, your quarterback got another person to knock their door and say, he raped me. I'm number 30. I mean, every time I look, it's like a lottery.
And that's what it is, because since Deshaun's a jackpot, everybody wants some money. That's all I got to say.
$500, Alex.
I am not in any way going to begrudge anybody who feels that they were disrespected. But come on now, y'all. This didn't happen the 4 years he was there. All this happens now when he gets paid. Kim.
Exactly.
Now, everybody coming out for that payoff. We didn't put that hush money. They're giving this hush money
away. I find it interesting that you know, she strategically waited till after he signed his contract.
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but somebody told her to wait.
Everybody wants to think that, you know, everybody wants to take you for being a fool because you allowed the folks to dictate to this. But come on, dog.
I just gotta say, 26 women, brother was slinging hard. Jesus Christ, man! I gotta say, Patrick, I'm still heartbroken over your Ohio State loss, especially what came out by Haskins last week. I don't know how much was fabricated. I don't know how much is real.
It was from talking to somebody close to the family. They had validity to that, but my thing is, there are things that have happened and it seems that families still don't want to talk about, and some of it leads back to who he married. That's all I can say about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the real bottom line for me is, without getting too deep, you know, you try to, we as guys who've been around and have matured and have been through stuff. When you get too much too fast, if you ain't ready for it, things can happen.
Yep.
I'm so sorry, man. No, I mean, that's just a tragic loss of life at such a young age.
And the guy comes from a good family. That's the worst part about it. That's the kind of guy that you think that would sustain himself over some of the tragedies that other people have. But again, when you get too much too fast, things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Connect with the wrong people. Surround yourself with the wrong people.
Mm-hmm. 100%, Fred. And the words of my daddy, God rest his soul in heaven, said, boy, if you hang around with knuckleheads, knots will soon be on your head, too. He wasn't lying.
Yep.
Now, that said, what's going to prevent the first Roe v. Wade-affiliated scandal with college sports to happen?
Which ones are you talking about? They had a plethora of them already. We had the bill where people shooting, killing each other. I mean, come on.
Now,
which ones do you want to pick?
Shooting and killing now. I'm talking about two people getting caught up. They're having a baby or they're going to be pregnant. Or
somebody's
just having all sex like Wilson did. They didn't have anybody impregnated. But because of the laws in that state, they're going to be crucified. I mean, they're literally going to be arrested for eating pictures.
Okay.
And I think there's something very wrong with that.
Do you remember? Manziel. Johnny before Manziel, right?
That's right.
Johnny before Manziel said, you can't play, right?
Yeah,
he said, okay. You're going to be suspended for a game. What did Johnny Football Manziel do? He said, I'm going to sue your friend. Okay, Johnny, we'll give you one quarter. Now go sit down and play somewhere else.
They sit down and come back and say,
and the African Americans don't have the money to do that, okay?
Mm-mm.
That's
mm-hmm.
the problem
mm-hmm.
here.
Yep. They don't.
Hey, guys, real quick, I know sports is a wrestling, but I guess you heard about the shooting in Tulsa, Oklahoma at a hospital. Four dead and about five or six injured.
You got an update?
I ain't surprised.
It's like every week you're going to hear about these shootings, man.
I'm not surprised.
Once again, until it's not hitting home to the big boys, it's going to keep happening.
Like I said, last week at a convention, and the governor's trying to do some campaigning. He had to cut it off because it looked more stupid than what he is.
Too much of him is stupid.
The Democrats have put 20 times that's a bill in the Congress. Let's change it. Been knocked down each time. Well.
You're right about that.
I'm
on page with you, Professor. I have a feeling somebody is paying attention to the history books, and they did what they did when they did it, knowing they were attempting to do damage.
Well, you know, Mike, something we got to keep in front of us is we got to work with our young people. To on the prevention side, you know, we know how it is when the hormones kick in and all that kind of stuff. But like I was saying earlier, we've said this several times on this thread.
Yeah,
people do not breed. I ain't talking about R-E-E-I-D or R-E-E-D. I'm talking about R-E-A-D. People don't breed. You know, about 4 years ago, we were taking our young men in our church through rites of passage. And this incident came up where homeboy was almost 16. The young lady was almost 16. And he got caught red-handed, smooching with this girl. So what we did was gave all the boys, all the young men, he gave them an assignment. To look up the definition for statutory rape in the state of North Carolina.
Right.
Now, kind of stuff that we heard was, hey, she consented. She consented. We cool, you know, the whole gamut, right? But guess what?
Mm-hmm.
At that age, in the state of North Carolina, you can't consent as a male or a female. It's up to your parents. That's North Carolina law. And guess what?
And Chris,
it took them looking at themselves. Okay, now, no, we're not going to be opening the doors and finding you behind the doors slobbering this girl now. And, you know, because we went through this stuff they're talking about, the parents. Okay, we talked to the parents, both of them, his and hers, and we let them know, okay, this is what we found, and this is how we handle it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to the laws of most states now, they don't even want to give you that opportunity, what we did as far as through our church. And by the time, it was solved, it was truly solved. It was not solved in such a way that you got, well, you jammed the girl up, you jammed the guy up. No, we called them both together. We didn't exactly do what they did in the Bible. They told me, we suggest we stone them. No, let's educate them.
Yep.
And that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And see, and that's the kind of stuff.
Good
see,
move.
Because when you go from just say from North to South Carolina, in a place, matter of fact, the best place to describe it is Laurinburg, North Carolina.
Yeah.
You sit on the board, you go out the back door of Laurinburg, you in South Carolina. That's how close they are. The laws, okay, the first thing you notice, the price of gas changed. But the laws change as you cross, and it don't matter what the law is in your home state. Where are you now? Ask the young lady from the WNBA about Russian law versus American law. How the mother comes to
you about that. That's right.
And see,
that's
those
a
are
great
kind of
point.
Things, and see, those are kind of things that will help us help these young people, whether they're male or female, because, hey, you need to sit down and at least, okay, you don't want to read that, the basic law on that. Okay, but you watch signs as you go down the road and say 65 miles an hour, 55 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you, okay, one, the signs change because they're made a different way, different color, whatever, color scheme. But then there's also how fast you allow to go. And so like
right
now the big push is on across the nation is all the people who like to tell you how they drove 80, 85 miles an hour. Well, in most states today, once you pass 15 miles per hour over the speed limit, you're likely to be confiscated on the spot.
Yep.
They do the same thing in Canada.
We need to look at some reports of recent here.
I can sense one thing, Fred, on that you said that I can concur with 100%. When we talk about statutory rape, well, I didn't know. I bet you one thing: if you go to that jury, they know.
If they don't know going in, coming out, they'll know because it will be well explained to them.
You know, I know that we have some levity with this to a certain degree, but this is serious as a heart attack. This is about saving lives, and it's going to be a lot of young men and women whose lives will be put in jeopardy when this new law gets kicked off the book and states' rights specifically lock in on procreation, non-procreation, and the translation of same. If a brother, I'm not joking when I say this, if a brother gets arrested for eating pussy or for killing a baby because he swallowed instead of went on ahead and had physical sex, that tells you how fucking backwards this country has been and what lengths they will go to corrupt someone's life and alter it negatively forever. So please, 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 as the commercial used to say, an educated consumer is our best customer. We not only want the young men and their parents and their young women and their parents to be educated consumers. We want them to know what time it is. If you don't know shit from Shinola, the Shinola may paint all over your face and all over your ass and put you in a situation where you don't want to be in.
And Mike, the sad part about it, when that decision is made, it can be made with a minority ruling of it. Because
you know
the states in which who have passed these laws are in the minority in terms of its population. That's the worst part about it.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been setting this up for the last 4 years.
Can we see a direct correlation with the potential records of Texas A&M, Oklahoma State, et al., with regard to this? Will it reflect and will it affect it that much, anybody?
It's going to affect some. I'm telling you, it's going to affect some families and people thinking about where they want to go. Will it affect the majority? I don't know, but it's going to affect some. If I got to go to West, I said this to someone recently. I love my alma mater, Ohio State. However, if you're in Ohio and you can't read about your own people, I wouldn't go to Ohio State. There's no way.
There you go.
There's no way. You know, because the guy I was talking to was from Ohio and said, bro, they better do something about that quick because it's going to affect some people.
Absolutely.
You can't read about you. You're going to cut down. Oh, please. Just the thought of it pisses me off. But, again, that's what happens when you don't vote.
And you got to remember, NIL ain't going to save your black ass either.
Sure.
They will do the same thing with NIL agreements as they do with bonuses here. There will be moral turpitude clauses within the confines of the fine print. And you'll see a whole bunch of brothers lose their money quick, fast, and in a hurry. And just like Lane Kiffin did, and I'll never forget this shit, Alshon Jeffrey was a recruit. And at the time, Kiffin was the coach of South Carolina. He thought he was a big shit, and he said what he said to Jeffrey. And when Jeffrey decided on going somewhere else, he just essentially said, new nigga or next nigga. And euphemistically, I'm saying this, but he made it clear. He didn't care. I'll sell you if the sale don't work. Next victim. That's really what it is about. And y'all
Mike,
better fucking pay attention to what's being done.
Mike, I said that one of the things I said for years when I was out in Ohio, when I graduated, because I worked out with a lot of the guys, played ball with a lot of the guys. I'm not going to mention names, drop guys over the years, ball players in NFL. When freshmen came in to Ohio State and I was around them, first thing I told them, three things. Do what the coaches tell you to do. Don't go where the coach told you not to go. Take your money ass to class.
Yep.
Because here's the bottom line. If you don't, you know what they're going to tell you? Next, nigga.
That's right.
Good luck.
No question. You will be next. Gary, you know, out west, the Pac-12 is doing all kinds of crazy shit in trying to gain an edge. What do you think they'll be able to do or not do once Roe v. Wade kicks in?
That'd be all right.
What would it be do? I think California, Oregon, Washington are very different. So they won't enforce them as long. They'll be more lenient out here than the rest of the country.
I thought so, too. Would that mean an increase in recruitment?
Yeah, but back then, back 12, they got to do better promoting it, because they're terrible promoting.
Mike, I want to know something. You know, with this discussion and the basic discussion, that's something that we have to realize. With what you said has validity in terms of its repercussions, in terms of the law of Roe v. Wade. But there's going to be a backlash from women across this country that have nothing to do with sports. That's going to tear stuff. It's ruined here. It's ruined across the whole country. There are repercussions of these guys who going to make decisions in the Supreme Court that's going to shake up some folks in this country. It's going to happen.
I would hope so. I feel you because I've seen bits and pieces, but yeah, I would hope so.
Mm-hmm. Because
the biggest thing that has to happen is these people that are on the court now got to realize what their real power is and what it isn't.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Justice Black was a sitting robe-wearing Klansman, and he probably helped pass more civil rights rulings than anybody. But from where he came from, wasn't supposed to happen. But see, everybody was so bent out of shape about who, you know, whether it's a Trump man or somebody that made sense. Well, that has its place, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times over the years, once men and women have gotten on the court, a lot of their rules have gone against, because it's about what does the Constitution say and what does it mean. It has nothing to do with the political party, per se.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, that's a literal minefield they're going to have to walk through, Fred. And I do
see, political minefield that most people normally encounter, it doesn't exist here, because once you're on the court, you're on the court.
You can't get out, you retire, or you die.
Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, most of the ones that are on there, except, well, I don't know about Clarence Thomas. I don't know if he did or not. But the rest of them
did. Mentally, yes. Physically, no.
Mentally, yeah.
And why is it, gentlemen, I have to ask this question. Why is it there an investigation on Clarence Thomas' wife?
Amen.
For doing what he did? That is a federal crime.
Mhm. Mhm. Amen. I told y'all when it happened that his wife had sponsored a bus for folks to come in to do that.
That is a federal crime.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yes. I said that 2 years ago.
The bitch should be locked up. We know that, G. But you notice how the mainstream media has played it down. They won't even entertain the fact that my ass needs to be. And you notice how...
Hey, Michael, that ain't the end of it. See, what I heard this week made my skin crawl.
Mm-hmm.
What Donald J. Trump and the Hillary Clinton-Russia investigation.
Yep.
Donald J. Trump to be in jail right now. Period.
We know that.
Because he broke federal laws again.
Exactly. We know that.
And guys, the only reason that he wants to run for president is to protect his ass from going to jail.
That's right.
Exactly. But that's why I brought up Roe v. Wade, because Roe v. Wade has led us to replacement therapy. The nut jobs coming out of the woodwork saying, all these black people are going to replace us. No, these black people are going to whoop your ass when you get the opportunity, because what comes around goes around. We know that. They know that. And that's why they really squawking. They know time is coming. And as the old James Brown song used to say, money won't change it, but time will
time
take your ass
will
out.
Will take
your ass out.
You know.
No doubt. Mm-hmm.
Mike, the idea of Tramp, I call him Tramp, I don't call him Tramp. Tramp, only one wants money is to protect himself, and he's making money out of gazillions from these stupid suckers that keep sending money.
I know.
Various, But he's making more money now than he's ever made. So
we
you know,
didn't realize
that's
how many stupid people lived in this country until he got elected.
That's true.
Yeah, true. That's really the truth. So a country of dumb fucks. Not even being funny about that shit.
Mm-hmm. I want to reach back to Reg. You there, Reg? Reggie, okay. I wanted to reach back some that on Baker Mayfield. You know,
Reggie.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Reggie, be on later. He went. You know, got a sandwich. You know.
Exactly. But Baker Mayfield represents the mediocrity of the NFL. Really, we see Baker Mayfield. We see him acting a fool sometimes. We see him having a good game sometimes. We see him having a bad game. We see him having a bad game most times. But yet, this is the standard that the NFL thinks they can sell because they don't want to sell Deshaun Watson. They don't want to sell Russell Wilson. They don't want to sell Jalen Hurts or any other brother to the fact that they need them. They don't want to need them. Baker Mayfield has only got a job as a backup in Cleveland because they feel they need him. His whiteness has given him that job. Nothing else. Not the fact that he can throw deep. Not the fact that he has a great touchdown interception ratio. Nothing. Nothing related to football has anything to do with his success. He is in the league because he is a white boy, pure and simple. As Tony said earlier, he's in the whitest of white situations.
Yeah, yeah. Especially up with those rednecks in Cleveland who love him. But that's fine. But again, he ain't Deshaun Watson, and I'll leave it at that.
Absolutely.
He ain't worth my time talking about. He ain't Deshaun Johnson.
No. See, here's the thing. Think about it. They're making more out of Mayfield, quote unquote, not having a job. as opposed to Kyler Murray basically trying to kick Kyler Murray out of Arizona.
Exactly. The news don't. Well, I can't say the news don't lie, but it's obvious.
They
want to go with it.
They don't want Trey Lance to be a starting quarterback in San Francisco. Finding a way to get Jimmy Garoppolo's job.
Hey, another mediocre guy that does shitty commercials.
Exactly. As long as they want the porn star as their number one in San Francisco.
My boy.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Am I correct that Garofalo in Italian means interception?
I believe so. I don't know if it's Northern Italian or Southern Italian, but I do believe his full name means arrogant fuck in Italian. So no question about it. If the coach wishes to keep him as the number one in San Francisco, San Francisco can forget about any opportunities of winning a division championship, let alone a conference championship. Then that shit ain't going to happen. No.
Yeah, it was lots of
stuff. I want to see. They released Garoppolo. The deadline, midnight tonight. I want to see what happened before midnight tonight.
They won't release him, Gary. You got to remember, they paid $137 million for his mediocre ass. You know, that's not hate. Now, even though they can afford it, Doesn't mean they should have spent it.
It's more like manure, but it's definitely not hay. That's for sure.
it's spent like manure. No, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
When Garoppolo played 10 games before he got that contract. Think about it. Do you know a brother that would get a contract like that? unproven. Come on, stop.
Well, you know why?
Put it this way, Mike.
Where did he come from?
But think about this, Mike. Somewhere in a subway in Detroit, Scott Mitchell is even saying, "That boy has got what's he making that kind of money for?"
Mm-hmm.
You know
Scott
that.
Mitchell.
You know that, and Scott Mitchell was stealing from the league. You know, he rankled the NFL so much that Lomas Brown paid the price for the sin of saying that Scott Mitchell was a fat fuck who could not play.
And this was before he joined the greatest the Biggest Loser.
He was the biggest loser before he walked on the stage.
Mike, then Detroit got caught too. They had Dan Orlovsky for 10-12 years.
Oh, God.
Another genius.
Oh, man.
And
he spouts
that shit like he knows it, like it's religion. He truly believes.
Just another Mike, just another loudmouth from Brantford, Connecticut. Yeah, trust me, I know a bunch
Come
of
on.
Them.
A loudmouth schnook. Loudmouth, that is.
Yes. Loudmouth, that is.
Guys, this is what gets me. You know, I respect somebody's knowledge of the game. I mean, I do. And you have to. But I say to some guys, if you knew that much about what they ain't doing and that you know it, how come you do it? That's all I got to ask you.
You know what? If he was a little bit more self-deprecating, see, one of the reasons why Bob Uecker is beloved, Bob Uecker knew he stunk, and he had no problem. See, he wore that shit like a badge of honor.
Yes, he
know?
Did.
But
yes, he
but,
did. God
but
bless
the thing, But the thing was, but the thing was, he didn't take. You know, he didn't take himself. I mean, now look. Bob Uecker's a good, he's a great announcer. He knows his
stuff.
Yes, he was. But the thing is, he never. Here's what he knew his lane. He knew how to stand his lane.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But see, now that you've got this frat boy mentality with these pre and post game shows, because I'm like Patrick, if you strapped it on. Of course, you have more knowledge than us, and I will acknowledge that. But see, here's the thing with Orlovsky and with a lot of them, they're spewing the same old tired ass bullshit that we're seeing. They're not bringing anything different. See, if they were bringing something a little bit different to the table, I could see that. What has set apart a lot of guys like Madden and whatever, they set a standard, but they also created a standard
exactly.
as well.
Exactly.
So a lot of these guys, I mean, literally and figuratively, bring nothing to the table. I would rather listen to Trent Dilfer go on and on and on and on than Orlovsky.
Yeah.
Well,
Tony, as you know, it don't hurt being a frat boy from Bradford, Connecticut.
He ain't from the mean streets. He ain't from the mean streets of Cobb.
It's funny.
True, so.
I was watching the remake of The Longest Yard last night. And of course, Adam Sandler played in the Burt Reynolds role at quarterback. Now,
never liked him
in
that role.
The person who was teaching Adam Sandler to throw was Sean Salisbury. He used to be in the CFL and used to work the mouse. Now he lost his job because he took a picture of his dick and showed it to people. Now,
which is stupid.
We talk about dumbfuckery, but how dumbfuckery can we get?
And a real small picture too, but that's a whole other story.
A very small picture, yes, and deep too. You know, the fact that he would do that. I mean, this is supposed to be a grown-ass man. And I'm sitting here watching Sandler throw Spiral, and I'm thinking, you dumb fuck. He came in on a humbug from the CFL, and when everybody started putting their credentials together, he had the least of it. But he did play. So nobody had a beef with that. But he didn't stay in his fucking lane. And he got exactly what he should have got. You know, this is what mystifies me about the mentality of white men. You know, everything revolves around their dick. I was listening to Tonight with John Oliver.
Another short subject.
Yeah. John Oliver's a really funny guy. I like his humor. But he was talking about how it was funny for one guy to put his dick in a loaf of Subway bread to make a point. And it's like, you guys really have inadequacy issues, don't you? You know, it doesn't matter whether you're 6'5" or 5'6". If you're white, more often than not, your dick rules your world. And if you don't have a dick to rule with, you don't have a world to rule with. So I understand the confusion, but for the benefit of all of us, that have dicks, please keep the little fellow to yourself, you know, because we don't need to hear it. We're too busy complaining about how cold it is in the bathroom.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. Oh, last item before we take it to final thoughts. San Francisco Giants manager Gabe Kapler has gone into Colin Kaepernick country. Now, we know that the shootings in Buffalo and Uvalde are true tragedies. And they always say they're tragedies because black and brown people were involved. But apparently, he said that he was going to have an issue with the Star Spangled Banner. He would not react. Now, I think he walked it back later, but I don't think there's going to be any outrage over Mr. Kapler not standing for the flag or whatever the fuck it is. Can anybody update me on what has been happening with the particular?
Well, he pulled back on Memorial Day, but apparently he's back into it. But, you know, again, no disrespect. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. If he hadn't said anything and just did it, I think it would have been more impactful. It's more, you know, this was a pseudo protest to me. I believe he does have a military background and all the other stuff. But see, here's the thing. In baseball, not every player is out there in the dugout or whatever in regards to the national anthem. So it's sort of hollow. I mean, but again, like you said, Mike, no one's going to take him to task because, you know, the fact that it was said and basically, you know, there was no death threat, there was no whatever. You know, it's let's put it this way. The ultimate in white privilege is to take something that was already done by a quote unquote smaller part of the alleged small part of the race and try to make it your own. You know, Glenn Miller, of course, is the king of jazz. The hell with Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie. You know, Bo Derek came up with those cornrows, and don't you forget me.
Come on.
Yeah, actually, Tony, it was Benny Goodman. You know, but that's okay.
Yeah,
In terms of Catlett, I will say this: he wrote a very detailed and quite understandable piece of material that led to that decision. I give him credit for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know, like you said, he did it, and no one's threatened to kill him. But you know, that's the price we pay for whatever. But
sure.
But for baseball, that's a big move because you know there's a bunch of rednecks in baseball. More than
no,
so,
really. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Rednecks in baseball?
Come on with that.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you'll be telling me that there ain't that many black players in baseball too. My
Pearl.
Plus the Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Since we are at the Final Four of the NHL playoffs, we're rooting for Darnell Nurse, Evander Kane, Matthew Joseph, I believe his name is, on the Tampa Bay Lightning. KJ Miller from the New York Rangers, and Nassim Kadri, and from the Colorado Avalanche. There's
hey,
also some black in it, as Richard Pryor would say.
Ryan Reeves.
That's right, Ryan Reeves, excuse me, number 75 in your program, number one in your heart.
This is an awful perplexing thing for an Islander fan like me to be like, do I really have to root for
those motherfuckers on Fifth Avenue?
Do I really have to say nice stuff about them red, white, and blue assholes? Do I really have to now?
And Tony, you are an original. You're the only black man I know roots for the Islanders. You are original.
Well, actually, me and two guys from Schenectady, but I think the fact that there was a third guy, but he overate himself to death. So you know,
okay.
He keeps.
I give a lot of respect for
him.
Reggie, are you there? I want turkey and cheese with lettuce and tomatoes, mustard and mayonnaise, and oil.
Mm-hmm.
Are you there, Reggie?
Yes, sir. Right here. Yes, sir.
All right, Brendan. Mm-hmm. Time for you to serve it up. Final thoughts.
Well, as we talked about before with these shootings, a lot of people want to say that, hey, it's my right to have arms. But I don't know what's it going to take when you have Sandy Hook, you have a situation with Texas, and now we got elderly black women being gunned down. And, oh, by the way, now they're coming to the hospital and shooting them up. Professor, all I got to say, Professor, no offense, but the Republican Party is starting to look more like a terrorist group rather than a political group. Just my thought.
Yes, indeed. Patrick, please come on in.
I'm intrigued about the. First of all, I'm looking forward to the NBA championship. It ought to be interesting. Intrigued about hiring of a coach, Darvin Ham of the Lakers. I think they're 11th black head coach in the league. Which is pretty good. But Darvin Ham is intriguing me because he's the kind of guy that paid his dues, but more importantly, I don't know how they had Strauss and what's the guy, Atkinson, even in the running, because Darvin Ham is the guy they need. I've heard several people talk about him. Even my man Stephen A. said Darvin Ham ain't taking nothing from nobody, including LeBron James. You're damn Skippy. But the only thing is, will ownership leave him alone to do what he got to do? So I'm happy for him. He deserved the spot. And it's interesting to see how it happened. And lastly, on the shootings in Texas, I will say this. It's amazing how police will stand outside for an hour before they go in with somebody with automatic. But you know,
wow.
Out, send an hour before they go in. But yep. they'll go going to bust a door down, a woman sleeping in her bed, and shoot her to death. Move around.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey,
quick question, Patrick. Does Leon Long have a sister that's going to date another coach in the NBA?
Could be.
Yeah. Hey, I got to say, the brother 44 and Leon Long 51. I ain't mad at him.
Is there any
comedian more Neil Long sister? Aren't they sisters?
That's it.
I believe
Samoa
Neil Long?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Samoa definitely grabs somebody.
Well, if she gives him some more, I think the Lakers will do quite well, frankly.
The real question is there any way that the Celtics can lose but Neil Long can win? That's what I'm really trying to figure out.
Just go on TV.
Questions. Professor,
love
I appreciate
Jones.
You coming in the mix tonight because this Roe v. Wade thing definitely concerns me, and I'm fearful that some shit will jump off at some point, sometime in the collegiate world this year. Your vibe, please.
Well, first of all, I survived my physical this morning, so I'm good with that. All
right.
Also, this Roe v. Wade stuff, it's been around, it's going to be around. No matter what the Supreme Court, the initial Supreme Court ruling may be, it's going to be back in court in a lot of ways anyway. So
backlash like a month.
It's going to be a lot court hashing out to go before this is over with. And normally I give some sad stuff, but two pieces of good information for. A piece of history. Week before last, Hillside High School in Durham, North Carolina celebrated their 100 year anniversary. Until the early 20s, the state of North Carolina barely had public schools for white folks, so nationally weren't there for black folks. So the people in Durham, they started their own school. So shortly after that, North Carolina supplied some of the Smith High School here in Federal, which, and these are two of the formerly 244 all-black high schools in the state of North Carolina. There's only seven of them left, and only one is actually in black hands, and that's Marburg Institute. Anyway, over the weekend, E.E. Smith put together, had their first induction of their Hall of Fame. About 10, 15 years ago, they actually had a principal who threatened to take them to court for misusing the name of E.E. Smith. And the people that were on the committee that I was there with them, I'm not an E.E. Smith grad. But the people that are there are people who love the school, who are part of that history. And this lady shut them down, in spite of the fact that her son is one of the ones who will be eventually going into the Hall of Fame. But, you know, they came through with flying colors. They met for the first time in 3 years this year. And they do it a special way. They have a Hall of Fame thing, I think, Saturday night. But then Saturday, they have their meet and greet at the baseball field for the local minor league team. And then they have another outing on campus. Mm-hmm. They had more than 2,000 people there. It was kind of funny because the police security, which they're required to have because they're having it on campus, they said they had nothing to do 2 days. And these are people, and there's a lot of blacks as well as white, a lot of whites as well as blacks that attended East Fair. But, you know, it's a big family gathering. They get together in their own class. The class is next to others, so you got people that you know. But, you know, they came through and fired from flying colors. Recently at Black Heritage View.com, Books should be in by the middle of next week.
Beautiful. www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, bric-a-brac, T-shirts. Any day is always a good day for Black History. Thank you, Professor. Big G, you still there?
Yes, sir. I'm on the 39.
All right. Well, throw something in the pot.
Okay. I want to continue what Patrick was talking about. In the 2023 season, there will be 15 African-American coaches in the National Basketball Association. Mike Brown will be number 15. There are only 30 teams in the league. 15 will be had by Black African American men.
Right.
So when the NFL said they can't do it, when Major League Baseball said they can't do it, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Right up until 1 o'clock, Saturday afternoon, 1 o'clock Pacific time.
Yes, indeed. Tony, throw something in the pot, please.
Boston Celtics star Jaylen Brown has made it public that he is now the first NBA player to sign with Donta Sports, a fledgling marketing company that is part of, say it with me, the Kanye West clothing line.
Recently,
LA Rams star Aaron Donald, who's saying he's retiring, but he's not retiring, but then he says he's retiring, but he's not retiring. So, you know, I guess we'll know about July or so.
He's
literally and figuratively playing games with everyone. I'm sure the Rams coach is just loving all of the irony here. Is he coming back on
what?
Yeah, but it's very interesting to see. Now, look, we all have our own opinions of the former high school dropout. I'll put my opinions to the side. All I'll just say is they got another one, but that's another story for another day. But it's interesting to see that, you know, more and more of folks are, these guys are starting to, in a sense, become their own man financially. I would hope that at some point they would become a fully complete person by speaking out on certain things in regard to this, because when these shootings and whatever happen, so many of them are very, very silent, and it's always sort of the same folks. But see, here's the thing, and I don't think I'm being hypocritical when I say this. I understand if you don't have an opinion or what have you. We can't, you know, we can't force athletes, because see, what's kind of crazy in this country is they will hold an athlete more accountable than they will a Ted Cruz or a police chief in a certain south town in the southern part of the country. But see, that's the thing. I mean, I would love, you know, everybody can't be Ali, everybody can't be Bill Russell, but it would be kind of nice if some of these folks were to really sort of quote unquote put their money where their mouth is, so to speak.
By the way, Tony.
Yes, sir.
I'm saying it'll be a 50-50 split this weekend between your boys and my boys.
Yeah.
Dodgers playing the Mets. That's all.
Yeah, I get, you know, and you know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Dodgers wind up taking three out of one, you know, three out of the four, because I don't know, I just get this, you know, they can't keep doing this what they're doing. even I'm starting to like, well, they're just, you know, they're just winning some of these games in a crazy way. But hey, like I said, it's been a lot of fun. And put this way, I know, put this way, what's always so funny is a lot of my quote unquote Yankee friends all of a sudden now want to call me and leave me messages on social media, and I'm like, leave me alone, y'all. You know, hey. Put this way, what my standard line is, tell Josh Donaldson I said, hey.
Come on. Nice one. Gentlemen, as always, you provided great food for thought. I appreciate everything that's been said and done by everyone who's participated. I leave you with this. Buffalo, that 911 operator needs to be fired. I say this as a union man,
mm-hmm.
as a black man. Get rid of her ass, or his ass, or whoever ass that was. Uvalde Arredondo is involved in some sort of scam. That's just my humble opinion. And unfortunately, black and brown lives are lost in it. And you know, when black and brown people die, it's always a tragic accident. But some people's minds, it's like it's a tragedy. There weren't more of them dying. And of course, now Tulsa, on the heels of what happened back there in Black Wall Street, black people are under siege. Dow said it best. We're at war. And we have to keep our heads about us. We have to keep our spirits on swivel. And there's one thing we need in this time. And, of course, the Spanko.
Thanks for your faith, London. Everybody in the house, make some noise. I want everybody in the house to say, ho! Yo, Chuck, kick it to him, man.
A ballad behind bars, or you could say real rock from the rock. An unusual musical happening in a most unusual place. The state prison
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers. They wanted me for their army or whatever. Picture me giving a damn. I said never. Here is a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me and myself, because they never did. I wasn't winning, but just that very minute it occurred to me the suckers had authority. Cold sweating as I dwell in my cell. How long has it been? They got me sitting in a state pen. I gotta get out, but that thought was thought before. I contemplated a plan on the cell floor. I'm not a fugitive on the run, but a brother like me begun to be another one. Public enemy serving time to rule the line, y'all. They criticize me for some crime. Nevertheless, they could not understand that I'm a black man and I could never be a veteran. All the script of situations unreal. I got a raw deal. So I'm looking for the steal. Word them up. I'm looking for that steal.
Yo, man, we gonna break you out of there, man. We ain't gonna like that, man.
Don't you know they got me rotten in the time that I'm serving? Telling you what happened the same time they're throwing. Four of us packed in a cell like slaves. Oh well, the same motherfucker got us living in his hell. You have to realize what is a form of slavery organized under a swarm of devils. Straight up, word them up on the level. The reasons are several, most of them federal.
Yeah.
Here's my plan anyway, and I say I got gusto, but only some I can trust. Yo, some do a bit from 1 to 10, but I never did, and plus I never been. I'm on a tier with no tears should ever fall. Cell blocked and locked, I never clock it, y'all. Cause time and time again, time they got me serving to those of them. I'm not a citizen, but ever when I catch the CO, sleeping on the job, my plan is on go ahead. I want to speak, but I'ma tell you the deal. I got nothing to lose, cause I'm going for the steal. I'm going for it.
Got me in the
hey, yo,
Saturday on the Grey Liver Co. No question. Good night.